WTFR.
We are sick and tired of the New York media dominating and controlling the news around the world. We are sick and tired of having to keep silent as the white genocide continues. Well, we're not remaining silent anymore. Scream from the fucking rooftops with Mike Sledge here on News White People Can Use, where truth and real news is called anti-Semitic.
Yeah. Let me get this radio voice up and going over here. God, that sounds like Leroy. Let me get the, hold on. Let me get this radio voice going here. Let me put more bass in here. Let me get my mixer board here. Put more bass in my voice, you know. You gotta have bass in the voice if you want to do radio. You gotta have a lot of bass in your voice. Welcome, everybody. This is Mike Sledge on the one and only WTFR where thought is free radio, and it is the day after Xmas. Thank God it's fucking over. Jesus Christ, I tell you. Oh, God. These Jew holidays, I swear to God, they drive you crazy. They make you broke. Thank God it's over. Oh, I got a great recipe that I learned during the Xmas holidays, during the Yule season. What do you get? This is a recipe. It's a great recipe. What do you get when you mix egg whites, Colt 45, and nutmeg together? You get Nignog. Yes, Nignog. Right on time for the holidays in Detroit City. Nignog. Anyway. For those in Detroit, man, you might want... Leroy is probably drinking some Nignog right now. A little Colt 45, egg cream, and nutmeg crackle. All right. Welcome, everybody, to News White People Can Use. That's right. This is Mike Sledge, and I want to thank those and welcome those listening at 1650 a.m. in Buffalo, New York, and all those listening in the Aussie Alpines on the FM station there, 105.9 FM in the Aussie Alpines.
It's 107.9, Mike.
Oh, fuck. God damn it, Sean. 107.9. Why do I always say, I think that's the third time I've said 105.9, isn't it?
It's the second time, and Tabitha did it as well. Both of you are very sinful.
You know what it is.
Sean, I think you guys need to just change the station.
Yeah, right?
Oh, and that was the voice. But hold on. Before I bring in my guest, I got a very special guest tonight on this broadcast. But before I bring him on, I got to bring in our good friend, Mr. Alex Jones, to introduce him because that's the way he wanted it. You know, he was a... By the way, my guest tonight on this broadcast, News White People Can Use, is Josh, also known as Lone Wolf One, and a great channel over there on BitChute. I don't know if he's still up at YouTube, if it's been taken down yet or not, like mine was, but anyway, let me bring in our friend, Mr. Alex Jones. Alex, are you there? Get off the dick for us and come in here. Okay, he's coming. Hold on. He's coming in here. You know, he's pretty big guy these days. All that's testosterone pills and steroids and cocaine. Oh, here he comes. Here he comes. Yeah, shut up, Mr. Sledge. Fuck you. I was going to see you a long time ago when you were an Oracle. You used to make fun of me. You did broadcasts. But anyway, that's on the past now. You want to sell my Dick Force pills? That's great. It's great to be here on WTFR, where thought is free radio. I had to come here because, frankly, this channel is going to potentially kick Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. It's going to kick my ass in 2020, being an election year or anything. Roger Stone is not here tonight. But anyway, folks, this next guest coming up on the broadcast is a guy that I was once going to bring on Infowars as a special guest, maybe even give him a show until he started talking about the Jews and my Tel Aviv condo. But anyway, I want to welcome everybody, a very special welcome to Josh Lone Wolf One. Josh, are you there?
Yeah, Alex, I'm here.
Hold on, I gotta get a drink of beer after that, man. It's fucked up my throat. Hold on. How the fuck does that guy talk like that for hours every day? God damn.
I think it is the cocaine and the brain siege force and the super male vitamin vitality and the dick pills.
Yeah. This show, folks, I don't really need to take the stuff because I got so much testosterone running through my veins, folks. And my wife, as you know, my new wife, the non-Jewish wife, I don't know if she's Jewish or not, but the new one, you know, she's packing some heat in the back. She's got junk in the trunk. And I really don't need the dick force pills, but if you're running low on low T, and your girlfriend or your wife doesn't have much junk in the trunk, you might need my dick force pills. But anyway, Josh, welcome to News White People Can Use. Great to have you here, man.
Yeah, sorry, Mike. Yeah, I'm here. Thank you for having me. I do appreciate it. I am not sick like I was on Tabitha's show, thankfully.
Well, that's nothing that some beer and testosterone tablets and a little cocaine can't cure. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, yeah, man, I actually subscribed to your channel on BitChute for quite a while. I think it was like, I think I've subscribed to it now for about 8 or 9 months, even before I knew you.
Wow.
Great stuff you do there, man. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I've been on BitChute for 2 years. I've been on YouTube since about 07. And yeah, my channel is still up. Knock on wood, it's still up for now. Although they took down, I had a copy of The Greatest Story Never Told. And they took that down after being up for about 8 or 9 months, since about April. And I tried my damnedest to upload Europa, The Last Battle, because I think that documentary is far better than The Greatest Story Never Told. And it goes to show, because I could not get it uploaded. And they like, the moment I would upload any part, they just took it down. They struck it down. Not only that, they struck down the video I had of the, there's an old audio clip of a guy named Benjamin Friedman who talked about this stuff back in the 60s.
Oh yeah. And he was actually Jew that came out against the Zionism, whatever. Yeah. He made that big speech. Yep.
Yeah. And I had that up for a while, and they struck that down due to hate speech. Now, if any of you have heard that, in my opinion, it's a great little speech. There's nothing hateful about what that man said. There was no hateful tone in his voice, nothing. And it was hate speech.
So. Yeah. Oh, everything's hate speech over there now. You know how that goes. Everything is fucking hate speech. I can't even post anything over there anymore. I was a victim of the Great Purge. All my old shows from Renegade I had up there, and some other of my old listeners have posted my old shows going back to the Renegade days and some of the Oracle shows. And the big purge last year, I think it was around July or August of last year, or this year, really, fixing to be 2020. But all my shit was gone, taken down. And I got nothing there. I started a new channel under a name, Mike Vril, instead of Mike Sledge, because I thought maybe I could sneak back in. And I got a couple shows up, and then now I can't post over there anymore. So I'm done. I don't even try to fucking put anything up there anymore. I'm so done with it. I put up at BitChute now, and that's about it, man. You know, so I just got sick of dealing with it. I mean,
yeah. Well, I will try to, you know, when this gets archived, I'll do what I did with Tabitha's show, and I'll put it up there. Now, with Tabitha's show, I ran into some problems, and it had to do with all the music breaks. I had to cut every single music break out of that show in order to get it to upload to YouTube. And
I don't know if Sean, I'm sure Sean's listening. What I found, Sean, on that show with Tabitha, every music break, the music segment that you put in there was right at a minute. So that may have been the issue. I don't know if it was the other network, but it was definitely weird that I couldn't get that up, and it was up for a few hours before it got taken down, and then every time I tried to re-upload it, it failed.
If I can interject, boys, what happens is over there in the United States, what happens is you've got what's called fair use. Now, what happens is fair use means that you can go up to 1 minute. Directly on 1 minute when it comes to the bumpers without breaking copyright. So whoever says, including YouTube, whoever says that you can't do that are breaking the rules of their own constitution, just to let you know.
Yeah, you have. It can't be over a minute, but it can be up to 1 minute. And I'd also put up, I don't know if you do this, Josh, but you can put up the fair use disclaimer, you know, there underneath on your notes or whatever for the show. But that's some bullshit. Everybody knows that according to the law, you have up to 60 seconds. It can't be over that, but it can be up to 60 seconds. I believe that's right, isn't it, Sean?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I've looked into it. Jimmy X has been working mainstream media for a long time, and he knows what he can and can't do. I've also worked over there myself. I've done some voiceover work for his mainstream station, and it's very clear that you can use up to 1 minute before it's no longer fair use. I didn't mean to break into your show there, Mike, but I think that's an important message to send, yeah.
Yeah, it's very important, which means that those rules are not being broken. Sean knows what he's talking about. We've been doing this shit for a long, long time, and it's just YouTube. It's either YouTube or some people that notify them, and they use that as an excuse. Look, they break their own guidelines, whatever their community guidelines are, Josh, because every time, like 6 months ago, when I tried to post shows over there under a new name and tried to post some of my old shows up there, they'd give me, and I even, the first couple shows I put up there, I didn't even use the word Jew or anything like that. I had no music playing. I had nothing. And they got me because I said the word fag. I said the word fag one time in a show, and they took the whole show down because they said I offended a protected community. I mean, it's ridiculous, man. So I said, if I can't say fag, which is a word that I mean, you know. I mean, it's ridiculous, dude.
The fact that it's a quote protected community, you got to be fucking kidding me. What gets me about the Purge thing on YouTube? All the I call them the grifters. They are the big names in the so-called libertarian alt-light community. You know, high impact flicks. The Red Elephants, Owen Benjamin, all these guys. They'll bitch and whine when one of their people gets thrown under the bus through this new purge. But they fail to realize that this has been happening for a very long time. I got several copyright claims, not necessarily strikes, and I have had several strikes, but I have had strikes and claims for having just like a 5-second clip, you know, making a little joke on a video and having a 5-second clip from a movie or something. I've had that, and I'm just like, are you kidding me? Here's the weirdest one I've had. I've had a copyright claim. This was not a strike. So the video on my old channel that got terminated, this was still up. If you remember the Las Vegas shooting, there was a clip that was going around of the taxi driver hearing gunshots, right? And she's at the hotel. She's at the pool inn. And you can hear gunshots, and you hear very distinct. This is not echoes. This is not the reports from the bullets hitting the pavement. This is distinct gunshots from the background. Mm-hmm. And I isolated that part of the segment only. And I made a mention, listen carefully. This is what I'm hearing. Tell me what you people hear. And I maybe had maybe a 2-minute video. And the segment was maybe a minute long, but it was a video segment. And I got a copyright claim. So you can go and find out who makes the claim on this, right? So I'm thinking, who made a copyright claim on a recorded video from a cell phone? How is that copyright? So I go to the claimant. It was some basic bitch YouTube channel that does like entertainment. Nowhere in their videos at all was that video of that taxi driver. So it was a BS claim. They had no evidence for it, and they still got away with it. So the whole copyright thing on is complete bullshit.
Oh, yeah, and that's a story that they don't want anybody talking about, by the way. And by the way, that story has Georgia connections because Jason Aldean was the musical act during the time of the shooting. He's from Macon, Georgia. And there was allegedly some deaths from Georgia that I kind of looked into, and I couldn't find any information that these people actually, and I'm not trying to get into the conspiracy realm here, but they dropped that fucking Vegas shooting quicker than a fucking hot knish coming out of a fucking oven at a Jewish deli on a Sabbath. You know what I mean? They dropped that.
Well, they
shit
did that
quicker than
they did that. See, I don't jump on those conspiracy theory bandwagons as much, but with a lot of these shootings, I have no choice but to, because it's just, I just see so many holes in it. And the biggest one for me besides that one was actually Thousand Oaks out in California. And I took one look at that, took a look at the supposed video footage from inside the packed nightclub, quote unquote, where the gunshots were going off. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? This is the evidence they present to us. And I made a video. It's on my BitChute. And I made a video, posted it on YouTube, and like a day or two later, taken off. And I'm like, it's, you know, so this has been happening long before the adpocalypse, the new YouTube purge, that all these grifters that make money on YouTube, that get their shekels, this doesn't happen to them.
No.
Not like, you know, it happens to people like you and I. I don't make a darn dime off YouTube. No. And I've got over 1,000 subscribers now, but I don't make a darn dime. I don't want to.
Yeah, absolutely. What it is they prop up and they protect this alt-light and several personalities in the alt-right as well. Same controlled group for people that haven't figured this out yet. And I get a lot of emails from people that used to be part of the alt-right. That's a escape valve too. So what it is the real people that are doing, you know, kind of more underground hardcore shit, like what we do and what the content we have here at WTFR, and like what Sean does, what Tabitha does, people like that, they're the ones banned from YouTube, but they prop up their puppets, their Jew escape valves, their misinformation experts, because, you know, Alex Jones, that program is fading away, and the new program was this alt-right, alt-light shit that they brought in after Alex Jones in 2015 with the Trump election, and they propped up all these clowns over there, and they can get away with stuff that you and I cannot get away with, and they don't even get banned half the time, which is proof positive to me that it is, because see, the Alex Jones program is fading away, and they needed the new program to have somewhat a little bit of credibility, because they knew that we're starting to get some numbers coming in our direction. People are starting to listen to what you and I are saying in our content, and it scares the hell out of the Jew establishment. So they put in this fake somewhat anti-Jew media that they created themselves. Gottfried, for instance, the founder of the so-called alt-right, was Jewish himself, and he coined that term. And that whole think tank over there in Arlington, Virginia, by the way, folks, which is right down the street from CIA headquarters. I know I used to have family in Washington, D.C. That whole what's it called that Dickie Spencer's a part of, that little think tank they have in Arlington, Virginia. I can't think of it right now. But it's basically the nerve center of the alt-right, where all their brains come from. And it's totally an inside-the-beltway Washington think tank. Same thing with Jared Taylor. He has a think tank that he runs inside the beltway as well. Let me tell you something. You can't run a think tank inside the beltway of Washington, D.C. without being somewhat connected or have funding connected from the system itself, Josh. You can't do it, you know.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I never really lived around DC, but I'm originally from Maryland. I've been through that area, but it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me. And it, what makes me laugh about Alex Jones is what got me onto him early on was in 2006. Now, I will say this to his credit. I think when he first started out, I think he was genuine. I really do. And I think one of his best things that he did that I really enjoy, and even to this day, I would recommend people watch, was his documentary Endgame. That was about it.
Yeah.
And I teeter-tottered on him for a little while. And around 2014-15, it was just getting old. It was just getting repetitive and old. And what made me laugh is, you know, I want to try and do my best here. Bear with me, Mike. I can't do it any justice like you can. But folks, I know people who are in the CIA. I've got family members, you know. I know people who are Freemasons and things like that. Yeah, and we're not supposed to think that you're an inside guy. So, and then I still try to give him the benefit of the doubt because, to be fair, I've known people that are, oh God, this is going to make it sound bad. I know people that either are former military high ranking or know people that are former military high ranking. Okay. I've met some. Yeah.
Sure.
You're going to cross paths at some point. That's to be expected. It was when Trump got elected. I'm thinking, you know, Alex Jones prided himself on being anti-establishment, anti-New World Order, anti-globalist, and then he votes for a globalist. I was done.
Yeah, yeah, and that was basically the zenith. I mean, it's clear that that they boosted up. Look, Alex Jones was the new internet Rush Limbaugh. It was the same program, just with a conspiratorial twist to it. When Rush started in like 1985 doing radio, they put him in just in time to be given enough power and credibility for the 1994. I'm a little older, so the Republican Revolution 94 was credited to Rush Limbaugh, and that was like the first time the Republican Party had taken over Congress in like over 40 something years, and they won in this landslide. And he was against the mainstream media. He was this, if you listen to Rush Limbaugh 1994 during that election, old archives, it is exactly the same program as Alex Jones, just with the Alex Jones has the conspiracy twist. Now, both of those programs are done. They served their purpose. Now, the new program is this alt-light, alt-right stuff, and it's already fading away. It's not even working anymore. It doesn't really have any credibility anymore either. So they're panicking right now, Josh, because they see that, you know, there's, I mean, let's face it, we're in an election year, and they don't know, they're uncertain this year, and this is why they're censoring all of us, because they're uncertain how much impact underground shows are going to have. And let's be honest, they play with our numbers. I remember having videos up a few years ago on YouTube that would shoot up in numbers, and then a couple of days later, I go back and to the channel, and the numbers were fucking gone. What I had built up. They roll back numbers. They do all kinds of shit, you know? I mean, it's just a fact. I've seen it, you know?
Oh, yeah. And that's what gets me. I mean, this has happened to small channels, guys that don't make any money. And if they do, it's barely a nickel, you know? And it's only because they might have ads running because they just chose to. I never chose to. And yet all these, you know, big name guys that make a pretty penny. Yeah. They're probably not making like millions of dollars, you know, let's face it, but they are making either a basic living or a good, what's the word I'm thinking of? Oh God, I just got a brain fart. Anyway, they're making enough to where it will affect them. So they're trying to watch their P's and Q's. That's why I chose never to make any money, because if I'm going to speak my mind about this stuff, I don't want to have to censor myself because of a dollar. And these guys won't take the hint. This has been happening longer than they want to make it out to be, and when it affects one of them, the purge. Well, it's been happening for a while, dude. Where the hell have you been? You know?
Oh yeah.
When you have the voice, you know, you don't stand up for the little channels. You just dismiss us. You know, and it's just like high impact flicks. He got on there. I made a video about this and I was ranting and raving. He got on there and he bitched a fit because Owen Benjamin got kicked off of YouTube. Who gives a rat's ass? It's just like when PewDiePie was getting harassed. Who gives a rat's ass? Who really cares? You know, really cares?
Exactly. Now that guy is making millions and millions of dollars.
Yes. Oh, I read an article that made me sick to my stomach. There's an 8-year-old boy that makes $25 million.
Yes, I heard this.
$25 million, 8 years. I'm like, all right, this makes me lose all hope in humanity. And then at the same time, I'm looking at my son going, what the fuck are you doing? How come you're not making $25 million? You know what this kid does? All this kid does is he has an unboxing channel. That's a channel where you get something in the mail.
Yeah, he does like these reviews of toys and shit like that.
Yeah.
On his channel.
And I'm like, his parents have got to have money. Okay. You and I don't have a pot to piss in. I couldn't afford, you know, I don't give a shit. These people, they're now. I will say this for the other network. They did bring this up and I do agree. There, some of these big YouTubers, some of them have been known to live in the same house or in the same community. So they're all kind of leeching off one another. It's all one big club. And you know, and these are kids that are being influenced and led by younger adults and older adults, and it does make you wonder what the hell is really going on. I will say that for the other network that they made mention of that. I'm going to give them credit there where credit's due.
Josh, I would actually agree with that. I mean, I've been saying the same thing as well for quite some time, that I actually wrote a piece, and maybe I'll repost it. I'll give it to Sean, let him post it on WTFR. I have it somewhere in my computer, but I wrote a piece on the similarities. You know, it was called Rock is Dead, but the new Laurel Canyon is the vlogosphere. And I kind of talked about the same issue where it was like back in the 60s, you know, intelligence agencies and the establishment actually recruited these people into rock music, going back to the Tavistock Institute and this kind of thing. And these young kids had rock bands coming out of Laurel Canyon in California, and they made millions of dollars. A lot of them were connected. Their families were connected to military intelligence. Dave McGowan's done great work on this. I'd recommend his work. It's excellent stuff. But it's the same thing with this. I totally agree with what you just said. This is a group of people that have been handpicked. A lot of them have been handpicked by the system to put out their content to make money. Again, this is the new media they're creating because they know that the TV is dead. The rock and roll industry is dead. All of their old programs are dead, so they have to create new programs in the gaming sphere, in the political sphere, and they're recruiting these young new voices who are perceived to be alternative and underground, but they're really, I agree, most likely 90% of them connected and promoting the establishment that they pretend to talk against, you know. So I agree with that 100%.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that. Hang on one second, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, folks. While Josh is taking care of something right there, I would go further with this. I mean, they've been doing this for a long time. Remember, media next to currency is their number one form. It's their number one weapon. You know, currency, controlling the money being their number one. The number two most powerful weapon is the media. And really, you could argue that both of them are on the same level of importance to the establishment, because you can't have one without the other. They can't keep control of the central banking system without control of the media. It goes hand in hand. Anyway, I hear the music. We'll be right back on the other side. News where people can use this Mike Sledge on the one and only WTFR. Yeah.
Her only novel, Wuthering Heights, published a year before her death in 1848 at the age of 30, stands as perhaps the most intensely original work in the English language. In it, Emily Bronte records the story of the passionate love between Catherine Earnshaw and the wild Heathcliff, with such truth, imagination and emotional intensity that A Plain Tale of the Yorkshire Moors acquires the depth and simplicity of ancient tragedy. Anybody who has read Wuthering Heights, written by Emily Bronte, knows full well that Heathcliff comes across as a Spanish wild gypsy boy. So why on earth was there a black playing the part of Heathcliff in the latest film?
Yeah, Wasp, I want to be somebody. Everybody wants to be somebody. Everybody wants to, well, not everybody. We don't, not here on this platform. We don't give a fuck about selling out to the Ivy faggot juice system. But a lot of people do, and they want to make millions of dollars, and they want to get on their knees sell out to this Jew World Order bullshit. But Sean had a great point in the chat room. Welcome back, everybody. News White People Can Use. I'm Mike Sledge. Again, I'm a special guest, Josh Lone Wolf 1, joins me tonight for this broadcast on this Thursday. But Sean brought up a great point in the chat room. He said, Mike, when the captain bought a smart TV, it will not bring up TCTAUnleashed.com, which is this platform here, WTFR. But Alex Jones comes through no problem. Of course. Of course. But that's a good sign, because let me tell you why that's a good sign. Because if they know to censor us, it means that they know who we are. And that's really all I give a fuck about. I'm glad that they know who we are, that we're good enough to be censored. That's a great thing. Hey, Josh, are you there?
Yeah, just one second, Mike. Go ahead and keep on talking. Hang on
okay,
one second.
Yeah, no problem. If we are being censored, it means that we are noticed, which is a great thing. Now, if you're not being censored, it's one of two reasons. Either one, you're part of the new Laurel Canyon CIA, Mossad-controlled Julie Wood slash alt-right slash alt-light slash fake new fake slash alternative media. Or nobody gives a fuck about anything you're saying because you suck on radio or on whatever platform you're on. But if you're doing a decent job and you're being censored and your numbers look pretty decent, hey, they know who the fuck you are. That's a good thing. So, you know, we ought not to be so upset a lot of times when we get censored. You know, I took it as a badge of honor when my shit got taken down at YouTube. I don't want to post over there anymore. And I want to support alternative platforms to that. We should have been supporting alternative platforms to YouTube a long time ago, because we knew this was coming. Hell, I remember going back to the Oracle, and I'm not going to mention the other network's name anymore because it's a waste of fucking time. This network is the only network that matters as far as I'm concerned, so I don't even mention the other network. We'll just call them the other network. I like that. The other network. Fuck them.
Echoes right now while mentioning the other network.
Yeah, the other network. Work. The other network.
Work.
We have to make our own sound effects here, you know? But yeah, at least we're being noticed, Josh.
The other network.
Yeah, there you go.
the other network, work.
But yeah, you know, what's kind of funny is the Echo is kind of similar to, you know, speaking of Laurel Canyon, you know, when you speak in a canyon, you have an echo, right? Oh, the synchronicity. Oh my God.
Echo, 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 echo.
Yeah. Oh man. But getting back to, some other topics, man, I was, I've listened to a lot of your, stuff over on BitChute, even before I knew who you were. And I got to say, you've done some great work on, for instance, the income tax, which I totally agree with the stuff you've done on that, on how basically it's just propping up the, you know, because, you know, that's a topic that a lot of people don't talk about anymore. You know, they just expect you or us just to pay for whatever, to give the system whatever money they want. With no, you know, how many shows do you hear even talking about? You know, there used to be some good topics talked about that very few people are talking about anymore, you know, this being one of them.
Mike, you've got me stumped. I can't
remember the date.
Talking about the income tax.
I think you did on one show. I believe it was you, unless I'm getting you confused with somebody else. But
I may have mentioned it, but I've never delved deep enough into that to really talk about it.
Well, it was more like a little rant you did one time, and it was about, you know, how you really don't own anything, you know, because every
this time, oh, I can't remember. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Was that my video, The Illusion of Money?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, I mean, I actually listened to that the other day because I think I'd sent that to Tabitha. And I'm like, man, it's been a while since I've done that one. So I just kind of gave it a good listen. And I'm like, I mean, I'm not one to pat myself on the back ever, but I'm like, I think I did a pretty good job that explaining that.
Yeah.
I could have done better. But yeah, it's when you really break it down, it's based off of an illusion, lies, manipulation. That's all. The whole thing. Even when we say, oh, well, our money needs to be backed by gold and silver. That's admirable, but it's still based off bullshit.
Well, all you got to do is go back. And I know a lot of people, you know, poo-poo the protocols, no pun intended. but, you know, who controls all the gold at this point? The same people that control the Federal Reserve Bank, the same people, the Jews control. They already have all the gold in their hands. It's stupid because you're going to, oh, we need to be backed by gold. Well, that gives them even more control, if you want to know the truth at this point, because if you back a currency with gold by resource, like these libertarian libtards used to talk about years ago, then you can only put into circulation the amount of money based upon what it's backed by the resource of gold. And in a growing population boom, you're going to have a fucking depression, and they're going to make even more money off that because of depression. When the economy collapses, no money is lost. It's merely transferred to the top oy vey hands, and they make even more money during depression than they do in economic booms in a lot of respects. So really, that whole topic is a big fucking lie. I totally agree with you, man. It's a big fucking lie and an illusion.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of respect for Ron Paul. Still do. I think he's a good guy. But whenever he or anybody else talks about we need to get back on the gold standard, like, again, it's admirable, but you can't do it as long as there's a Federal Reserve that done took the gold back in 1933. Now, if you put the gold back into the hands of the people that it was stolen from in the first place, then we can talk. But until you change that, until you reverse that theft, you're just going to fuck yourself at the end. And I'm not an economist, so I don't talk about this topic much because I can't even do my damn I can't even balance my checkbook. So I don't even get on this topic much.
Yeah, well, I've always been interested in it. And I actually read a book that was published. I can't remember the name of it, but it was published in the mid-60s. And, you know, all of the gold reserve in Fort Knox is already gone. There is no gold in Fort Knox anymore here in this country. It's already gone. And this book was put out in the mid-60s. It's absolutely amazing. So this whole idea, you know, they consolidated power. The Oy Veys, the Jew power group, they consolidated and they controlled all of this years ago. By the way, here's another interesting fact. The Hunt brothers, no similarities to another Hunt we might know. But the Hunt brothers in the early 80s did the same thing with the silver market out of Texas in like 1982. They cornered the market. They controlled the silver market ever since. The Hunt brothers of Texas. Look it up. Oy vey, the Hunts. But seriously.
This will bake your noodle. Now, allow me to put my tinfoil hat on just for one moment. You've gotten into some of the esoteric stuff, if I'm not mistaken. I know this is going to cheese Sean off. He's just going to have to deal with it
for
5 seconds. All right. So why is money backed by gold? Why is gold so precious? Why has it been so precious for millennia? Now you have to go back and at least understand the Epic of Gilgamesh and even the first book of the Bible. It talks about gold. Why? You know, and then you get into the Anunnaki. They needed gold for their whatever. Why? You know, is it still all connected now? That, and I think I brought that up in that video you're mentioning because I'm like, wait a minute.
Don't get me started, Josh. Don't get me fucking started. I'm telling you right now, you know what? We never needed gold from the get-go. The reason we didn't need gold is just because somebody said it was a precious metal didn't make it fucking so.
Yeah.
So we never needed it.
No, I agree. Yeah. I agree. That's my point.
Yeah. We never needed it. You know, there was no way we needed it. If we're going to look at the Rothschilds and everything like that, that took gold away, and we all of a sudden look at that, oh, they took the gold away. I'm going like, who cares? It's just a fucking piece of metal. Who cares?
I never understood why it's so valuable and so precious when I can go even in this area, East Tennessee and Western North Carolina, we're in what's known as the Carolina Gold Belt. You can go into certain creeks along the rivers at the base of the mountains and pan for gold. You're not going to get the mother load, but you can get some gold flakes and some gold dust. I've been wanting to do it myself just for fun. But can you really cash that in?
Here's the thing. What does it have to do with Ron Paul? You know what I mean? What does it have to do with Ron Paul? Ron Paul was one of those people that believed in, you know, the gold being a thing.
That's why I brought him up. I said I have a lot of respect for him, but whenever he talks about that, the way he approaches it, I think, is wrong. I have more respect for him than I do his son, because at least Ron Paul doesn't cuck for Israel.
That's very true. Yeah, continue, lads. I'm sorry to break in, I just can't help myself.
Sean, no problem. I'm glad you did, because I agree with you on this issue. But I'll tell you why, Josh, that the gold is so important. Going back to like the Torah, the Old Testament, all these other books where the Jews prop up gold, and going back to other old texts, the reason that gold is so important to them was because before we had a currency like we have now, before we had the printing press, before we had the ability to mass produce a currency the way we have today, you know, it was all based upon metals and gems and these kind of things as the as currency. And they controlled it going back to the Grand Vizier of Egypt is when they took over this power. This is why a lot of their last names, remember, a lot of Jewish last names are based upon what trade they're in. So you see a lot of Jews with the last name of like Goldsmith, Goldstein, Goldbaum. You know, most of the goldsmiths were Jewish. And this control over gold and silver and different types of gemstones then led to them controlling actual currencies as mass economies progressed down the road. It's that simple. But I do think about Ron Paul. I do think that was the reason that Ron Paul was even able to be a candidate, because he pushed this narrative of getting us back on the gold standard, which is a very dangerous narrative in the modern economy. And I'll tell you why. Very dangerous narrative. And this is why he was even allowed, because I think the Ron Paul campaign, looking back on it now, it was to push the narrative. And remember, Trump's last Federal Reserve pick that didn't make it, Stephen Moore, from the American Enterprise Institute was his original pick for Federal Reserve Chairman. His whole deal was getting us back on the gold standard. Now, he didn't make it because the Democrats in the House didn't like his social views. But he'll try again. If he gets elected for a second term, you'll see one of these people get on the board. And this is very important because they actually want to move us back on the gold standard because it gives them even more power at this point. And you know, they control now. They've monopolized and merged all these companies and all these banks together over the last 10 to 15 years. And by putting us back on the gold standard, they can control the resources even more and funnel the money directly back to the top of the Oy Vey pyramid. And really, to be honest with you, the biggest lie that a lot of people in alternative media don't understand today is they bash the Federal Reserve, and I agree. I don't like the Federal Reserve either. But at this point, you know, a currency is only has the power on what the establishment says is powerful. I mean, the establishment could come out and say tree bark is the new currency, and it would be just as valuable as the dollar because it's backed by guns now. It's backed by force is all that matters anymore. It doesn't have to be backed by anything anymore. But what it would do is it would shrink the economy on such a rapid scale. And as I said before, economies, when they shrink, wealth is never lost. It's just taken out of the hands of the masses and given back to the few. Because when the economy goes south, the Jews at the top make even more money because they can then take land away because you can't afford to pay your income tax anymore because you're not making enough money to pay your taxes. So they then confiscate land for pennies on the dollar. This is why the gold standard is so dangerous, Josh. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. I mean, again, I mean, the idea is at least more admirable than what they have now. But it's, again, like what I said in that video, it's all based in bullshit. And as George Carlin said, it's all bullshit and it's bad for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree 100%. But this is a topic. But what we're talking about now, it's not hardly talked about anymore. You know, they don't want even people talking about this anymore. And notice how they're not really – they've already pushed this narrative of the gold standard again because I believe that this is their next step. They're creating – you know, it's the boom-bust cycle. It's called the 10-year business cycle, which the Oy Vey banking powers created. The 10-year business cycle really started after World War II. And you can basically predict when the next recession is going to hit based upon the 10-year business cycle. It's already calculated in to the economic program by these bagel chomping fuckers, and they've already calculated in. So most likely,
hey, I got to stop you there, Mike. I like bagels.
Jew,
you know what?
I like English muffins better, but I do like a good bagel.
I love an English muffin, but let me say, let me tell you. What you got to do the bagel is defile the bagel. You have to commit food genocide on the bagel. You have to put like sausage or bacon on a bagel and defile the bagel. And then it's even better. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do. Whenever I'm up in New Jersey, I get a Taylor ham bagel loaded down with egg and cheese.
That's the way to do it. Put, put the meat, the pork on it with the dairy, mix the dairy with the pork, even worse than dairy with beef. They don't do that either. By the way, there used to be this Jewish hamburger place in Atlanta where I lived because I used to live on the edges where I used to live of this small Jewish community here. And there used to be this burger place back in the day called Gold Burgers. This is not a lie. This is the truth, Josh. The place was called Gold Burgers. And you couldn't get a cheeseburger in there to save your fucking life. So me and my friend, we used to go there because they had good fucking hamburgers. I'm not going to lie. We used to go there with our own slice of cheese in our hand when we ordered, and the fucking Jewish guy working there would get so mad at us. You fucking guy, what are you doing desecrating my fucking burger? But the place was called Gold Burgers. So there you go, Josh. There's my...
Gold Burgers.
I don't know if it's still there, but But getting back to another topic, fuck the gold shit. We've already covered that. But yeah, it's all an illusion. Like you said, before we exit this topic, is a lot of people don't understand this. You know, you don't own, you know, I keep hearing a lot of people in the underground media go, they're going to take away our private property, They've already taken away the private property with the income tax. Because if you have to pay income tax to keep property, a tract of land that you bought or you purchased, you don't own it. As long as you're paying income tax on a piece of property, you do not own that property. Because if you can no longer pay the tax, it's gone. So you are renting, no matter what you think. I don't care what piece of paper you have in your
hand. Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, even not the income tax, the just your property tax. I mean,
sure.
I own my home. We bought the home. We got it for a very good price, right through the owner, and we paid it off. We own this outright. Oh, except for that annual fee that we pay.
Yeah, the annual fee you pay, and that's absolutely right. And this is not the way it used to be in this country. Back in the day, when you purchased a tract of land and you got that piece of paper saying it was yours, that was the end of the game. You didn't have to pay anything on it anymore because you owned it. That was it. That was the end of it. There was no tax you had to pay for this land down the road. So nobody owns anything unless you're part of the extreme oive elite. You don't own anything. If you're a working class, you know, and you pay all these taxes, you don't own a fucking thing, folks, for those listening. I don't care what you say. You don't own it. You don't own it. You simply do not own it. It's an illusion. It's a lie. Yeah, go ahead, Josh. Go ahead. I hear you coming in. But anyway, another issue that I thought we could talk about was the new Jew corporate feudalism and their Jew bagel chomping economy. And the reason I bring this topic up, because it relates to what I saw happen during Christmas. I went shopping with a family member of mine on Christmas Eve to get a couple last minute items. And this person in my family was telling me a story, Josh, about how they shopped online. I'm not going to mention that in the store, but they shopped online at this store. And because they shopped online, this company gave them a $20 gift certificate that they could use online or at the store because they shopped online. So they're basically giving you money not to go into a brick and mortar store because they're ready now to get rid of all of the actual shops. And now that they have Amazon and Google and Facebook all in place, their data mining operation, the trifecta of Jewish power in place now, they're now moving now to get rid of the brick and mortar stores and move everything to online shopping. And I believe with the exception of monopolies, Walmart, maybe Publix, I don't know what you have where you live, but down here it's Walmart, Publix, Kroger. And if it's a rich community, you have a whole Paycheck Foods and that's about it. But they're ready to move in that direction with the exception of maybe supermarkets. What do you think about that, Josh?
Yeah, I think even some local grocery store chains are doing that as well, but definitely Walmart. Yeah. Here, do all your shopping online and come pick it up.
Oh, yeah. That's a big thing now. You know, you can go to Walmart. You're absolutely right. Even Walmart now is delivering to your house, too, now. They actually deliver to your house. You don't even have to go to the supermarket anymore. They deliver the shit.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah. Walmart just started the delivery service. Publix is doing it. Whole Foods has been doing it, Whole Paycheck Foods, and Kroger, I believe, does it now too. Where I live, we have a lot of Kroger. I don't know how it is where you live, but they all deliver now. So you don't even have to leave your house to get your groceries delivered. And by the way, it's the same thing with this. They're offering incentives. Like there's all these coupons online. Actually, it can be cheaper if you know how to play it to get them delivered than actually going to the store. They are trying to isolate everybody to keep you from leaving your home. They want everybody separated and isolated at this point. They don't even want us in a marketplace anymore, you know? I mean, this is bizarre, but this is where we're headed.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. It's, it's everything's, yeah. No, I mean, you said it. I can't really add to that. It's just getting so stupid. And, you know, they started with the, we can really say they started with radio, but they really started with TV, getting everybody in front of the TV 24/7. They started with, the tablets, the phones, the computers. And now it's like, here, do all your shopping online, get everything delivered right to your house. You don't have to go anywhere. The corporation, which is the government, will take care of you.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Josh, have you seen the new Tower of Power? This is what they call it at Walmart. I actually had to go into Walmart. They had this new thing in Walmarts, for those listening. I try to avoid Walmart, but sometimes, you know, you just can't avoid it. But they have this new thing in there. It's called the Tower of Power. That's what it's called. And you order a product online, like a computer, a TV, or whatever, and you go into the Jew Mart, the Slave Mart, the Walmart, and you go to this big tower, and you scan your debit card, and this scaffolding like lifts you up on this tower, and then they actually, the product comes out of this tower, kind of like these cars that are being sold at these car dealerships that are in like this fucking glass container, and you just pay for it, and this robot arm brings your car down. Have you seen this shit? This is what they're doing at Walmart now with their products.
No, I have not seen anything like that.
Yeah, they've already got it here in Georgia. It's called the Tower, and it's unbelievable. I mean, it literally, you walk in, you pay for what you want online, then you scan either your driver's license or your debit card, and this fucking thing delivers, this robot arm actually hands you the product. You don't even have to deal with somebody working in the store anymore, which is, you know, this is the AI coming into place. This is the robotics coming into place, which I have mixed feelings about, Josh.
It's like going to a damn self-checkout. I mean, when did I start having to do the clerk's job? Are you going to start paying me now to go shopping? You know, is it going to be, you know, is it going to be, I go to a restaurant and then go in the back and fix my own food now?
Actually, Popeye's Chicken's doing that already.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Listen, Josh, Nick Popeye's Chicken has a new thing they're doing where it's basically what you're talking about. I keep up with Popeye's because it's so goddamn funny. I love my Popeye's Chicken, man. It's Leroy. But, Yeah, they got this new program at Popeye's Chicken where you bring in your own bread and they'll make a chicken sandwich. You bring in your own bread and they'll put the chicken on it. But you bring in your own bread for the chicken sandwich.
Oh, yeah. No. I've heard about that. I think they've tried to do that here. And here's the thing. Their excuse is... Oh, great.
Yeah, I hear the music. Get you from the other side. Great. News up. Can you... Guess Josh. One. Be right. And kiss the lips. Sucked him off time and time again.
It's enough to make a man throw up. Sure is. Don't be fooled, ladies and gentlemen. Cats are evil. I know that a lot of people out there think that they're nice, warm and cuddly, but it's just not true. My mother used to have one called a Siamese, and it used to sit there at the wash house every night I come home from work. And I'd sort of sit there and get out of it, you mongrel. I'd give it a bit of a kick, and you know what had happened? My mother would look across as if, don't you kick my cat. She wouldn't hear it going, holy crap, they're evil.
Trying to
WTFR.
News White People Can Use. This is Mike Sledge, special guest tonight in this Thursday, December 26, 2019. Josh, a.k.a. Lone Wolf One. We're talking about automation and the Jew Oy Vey Kosher Marketplace. And, yeah, Josh, you're right. Like you said before the break, they're making us work our asses off now. We're becoming the retarded bag boy at the grocery store. We're becoming the clerk. And the prices keep going, oy vey, up.
Yeah, and we're supposed to live in the land of the free, home of the brave, land of the rich and plenty. Bullshit. You know?
Yeah, man, it's you know what's funny? I'll tell you what, I have mixed emotions about this whole thing, this automation thing. I do like it at every once in a while. I try to stay away from fast food, but every once in a while, you know, especially if I had a couple belts of some liquor or something and I wanted to eat some bad shit, you know, I might hit a Taco Hell, a Taco Smell. Well, there's one down the street and they don't have anybody working in there anymore. It's all, it has a touch screen. You go in and, it has pictures on there of all the combos and you punch the picture. And then you swipe your debit card, you get a number, and then they have like two people or three people working there. One person at the drive-thru, one person in the kitchen, and one person to hand out the orders. But I like this because the fucking groids can't fuck up your order. You know what I mean?
I disagree. Now, I don't know where, you know, you're in Georgia. I've been through Georgia a couple times, and I've been close to Atlanta. But where I'm at, they got the same shit, those damn kiosks, and the fuck. Still fuck my order up, and it takes longer to go through the fucking kiosk, could get the ticket, to walk over to the register, to explain to them what the fuck I did, and for them to fucking pick the number out and then give me another special number to sit on my table, than it does for me just to walk up to the counter and say, hey, I want a number four. You know, it's just I know, I don't like it.
Okay, I haven't had that experience yet, but yeah, so what you're telling me is they instituted this system, but even the groids can fuck up the computer. They're even fucking up the automation. They're so bad.
Yeah, they've fucked it up, man. They have fucked it up. Let me tell you something about that. Now, I was in, I live 20 minutes away from Virginia. Okay. Southwest Virginia, you know, majority white. Until you get up past Blacksburg, up toward Roanoke. That's mm-hmm. when you start to see a little bit more black. So I walked into a Hardee's, and I wanted a number 11, which is the big ham and cheese. All right, I wanted one of those. It took 20 minutes for them to make it. Now, I was the only fucking one in that goddamn restaurant. When they gave me my order, I got it to go because I had to you know, hurry back home. I'm 3 hours away from the house. So I get in my van. I'm starting to drive home. I reach in the bag. I pull out the box. I expected a nice, juicy ham and cheese sandwich. What I got was chicken tenders.
Always check your shit before you leave, man.
Well, you know, fuck. I didn't. I'm not one to complain. I should. I don't complain. I don't like complaining. The reason I don't like complaining because I know the moment I complain, somebody's going to spit in my fucking food. So I ate the damn chicken tenders. I mean, they weren't that bad, but I was craving that fucking sandwich.
Yeah, if you complain, Josh, you're going to get a blue gum spit all in your fucking chicken tenders, man. You're going to get a fucking porch monkey loogie as your sauce to go with your chicken tenders. Yo, just crack a fuck his ham and cheese. Shit. I'm going to give this guy special sauce. To, shit, nigga. Fuck this crack of ass motherfucker. Anyway, sorry, man. I used to have family in Virginia, by the way. Do what, man?
I said, you don't need to apologize to me. I ain't no nigger.
Oh. I wonder how long it's going to be before for Popeyes and these chains start selling a nignog for the holiday season. You know, the recipe I mentioned at the beginning of the show, egg whites, Colt 45, and nutmeg. Nignog, go with the chicken there. Oh, shit, man.
I had my mic muted when you first did that joke, and I was laughing my damn ass off.
Yeah, a friend of mine told me that joke, man, and I just can't get over it. It's fucking hilarious, man. It's fucking great. But yeah, it's okay. We done Fast Jude. But yeah, this is where we're at, folks. I mean, they're bringing in the automation and to replace us. You know, because we don't work in fast food anyway. I mean, unless it's a Chick-fil-A, you don't see any white kids working in fast food anymore. You know, it's all groids and shit like that. I mean, I don't really see.
Even Chick-fil-A fucking kowtowed and bowed out to the fucking LGBT faggot group. Hallmark did the same thing. It's funny. Christians will sit there and they'll praise Hallmark and LGBT. Or no, fuck me, goddammit. They'll praise Hallmark and they'll praise Chick-fil-A. And these companies that they try to say, well, they're just like us. They cuck to these organizations. And you see it in the churches. If anybody knows anything that's going on with the churches, you see it with these companies. They cuck to these damn organizations. They cuck to, quote, diversity. And it's like, yeah, well, this is why you're weak. This is why the argument from these people are weak. This is why they can't win at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to tell you what's funny. Since you mentioned the churches and these turn-the-other-butt-cheek Christians, I have to say what's so funny about this is, you know, you said corporations and churches. Fuck, the churches are corporations now. They're all 501c3s. They're fucking corporations. That's all they are.
Well, Mike, this whole fucking country is a corporation. I mean, it's in the Act of 1871. It's in the definition of subsection 15 in the USCC Code Title 28. The United States is a federal corporation. And we've, you know, and I've talked about this before on my channels, and I'm going to, you know, make a new video soon about this and make this the focal point. But the 14th Amendment, which came after the 13th, right after the Civil War, it subjugated the people by turning every single one of us into subjects into the fucking jurisdiction of the state of the, which is a jurisdiction of the District of Columbia. I've always wondered, why is it a District of Columbia? It's fucking corporation. That's why you have police and policy enforcers. That's what they are. And highwaymen as your highway patrol.
Absolutely, man. You're absolutely right. This is a corporation. The United States of America is a fucking corporation. And that gets us into the topic. I'm glad you brought it up, and I'm glad you know about this because I knew you did. And this is a great topic for us to talk about on this broadcast because that was my next realm I wanted to discuss was I call it the new corporate Jewish serf system. That's what I call it. You know, everybody talks about communism and then people on the left talk about fascism. You know, what you live under right now is not even communism. It's definitely not fascism. I'm so sick of hearing either one of these describes what you live. What you live under now is a Jewish corporate dictatorship. It's Zionist corporate dictatorship is what you live under. It's a multinational Zionist fucking company. That's what you live under. That's what you live under. That is the system you live under. It is a totally new system. It is, and what we're moving into is a total new Jewish-controlled economy. It is, they control it for a long time, but they're really moving on this internet-based system. this Jewish corporatism like you're talking about. This is what Zionism is, folks. This is Jewish dictatorship. Josh, go ahead with your information, because I know you know a lot about this.
I don't know a whole lot. I mean, I just know what I've been looking into recently. But yeah, this is just a corporate aristocracy. That's what it is. You know, that's why within government, even in your local level, I don't know how it is down under there, Sean, but here in the States, even in our local government, we have board of directors. Where do you hear that term? When you're in a corporation. That's where I've always heard the term. So why am I hearing it within my local and state and federal government? Because this whole entire fucking thing is a corporation. Everything's incorporated. That's why you run into a small town even, and it'll say incorporated, or it might say unincorporated, but the terminology is there for a reason.
You know? Absolutely. You're absolutely right, Josh, and I'm going to tell you something, man. This is why, and getting back to kind of like your Ron Paul, it's on what we're talking about. It's the same topic, but getting back to this kind of fake right-wing stuff, this fake, this conservative bullshit, this Oy Vey GOP shit, GOP stuff is, you know, the most dangerous party really is this fake right in this country, because they prop up the corporation more than any other party. And that is the whole ball game right now, because the corporations control the government through the special interest groups. And, you know, now that the corporations control the media completely, and the public square now is dominated by corporations coming out of Silicon Valley, because let's face it, the internet is the new public square. There is no freedom of speech. And what does the fake GOP, the fake right, these cuckservatives do? What do? Every fucking time they say, well, they have a right to ban your freedom of speech because they're a private company, see? You know, it's not government, it's a private company, so therefore the First Amendment does not apply. And the Second Amendment doesn't apply anymore either, because the corporations, like a McDonald's or something like that, like they're doing already, can say you can't open carry in an open carry state on their property because they're private property and they're a private corporation. So you see, through this Jewish corporatism, all of your rights are gone under the banner of it's a private company.
Exactly. No, exactly. That fat fuck Judge Napolitano would say that shit. Well, it's the Universal Commercial Code says blah, blah, blah. Fuck your commercial code. Why do you think it's commerce, you fucking zog faggot? See, the right pisses me off more than the left, because the left, they're a bunch of degenerates and they're pushing a lot of bullshit, but they're low hanging fruit. That's why I get pissed off at these alt-right, you know, popularities on YouTube, because that's all they go after. They will not touch the other side ever. And you're absolutely right. No, the Bill of Rights, I can't break it. If it was enforced, I couldn't break it. You couldn't break it. A company couldn't break it. A corporation couldn't break it. A government can't break it. It's fucking ratified law. And if a company or a corporation can break it under the guise of private industry, then we have no fucking law, don't we? Do we? You know, there is no fucking law. And
absolutely.
And here's the thing. It is so simple to sit there and go, okay, can I, as an individual, do A, B, and C to another individual? No. Okay, then why can a fucking company or this government do that to me, especially the government where it's supposed to be my what? Public servant. Period.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. And that's why the Jewish corporatism is so dangerous, because in order for Jewish corporatism to work, it's all based on, like you said, contract law. You have to sell your soul to the Oy Vey devil. You have to sell your soul by signing a fucking contract. When you get a job with a company, when you have to sign all those documents, when you get hired, you are signing a contract. You relinquish your rights. When you sign a contract, even when you eat at a restaurant a lot of times, if you look on a receipt at many places now, when you sign your receipt, when you do a debit card transaction or a credit card transaction, you actually are also signing hidden in their terms of service. It's amazing. But this whole system now, it's Oy Vey bagel fucking chopping system. It's based on contract law, and this is how they get around all this. And this is brilliant. And I agree with you, man. The biggest fucking problem that we have is the fake right. And I'm convinced at this point that the left has gotten so ridiculous with their homosexuality and their fucking tranny shit and all their bizarre shit they do. I'm convinced that they have become, like you said, low-hanging fruit, but they have become ridiculous on purpose to give the fake right more credibility, to herd what's left of us into supporting someone like a Trump figure, because at the end of the day, they don't care about communism. They don't care about even socialism. What they care about at the end of the day is oy vey, contract, corporate law. This is what they want more than anything.
Mammon, the worship of money, the god of greed, mammon. It comes down to money, and it comes back to that first topic we talked about, gold.
Yes. You know,
who covets gold? Kings and priesthoods and upper class. You and I can't touch gold. Again, you know, when I hate using the term citizens, but when private individuals owned, tangible gold, before 1933, before Rosenfeld, oy vey, took it all, okay, people owned tangible gold and silver. And you can still own it today if you go through Midas Resources and, you know, Alex Jones, you know, you go to Midas Resources, folks, you can go gold and silver, and, it's price, folks, they got the greatest prices. They've marked them down. We can't beat these. Blah, 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 blah. It's all about the fucking gold, and it's all about the fucking love and worship of money. I am not a materialistic person, but God damn it, I barely have a fucking pot to piss in, and I work a damn good job, and I get paid more than $15 an hour, that lovely minimum wage that everybody wants, and I still struggle. That should tell you that it's the whole thing that everybody's wanting for that $15 an hour minimum wage is bullshit. You're not going to fucking make it even if you got it.
Well, and that's all bullshit, too. And I'm in the same boat you're in. I make way over $15 an hour. I got a good job, but dude, when you have kids or whatever, dude, it's a struggle, man. Everything is so goddamn expensive. It's just, they got us running in a wheel like a fucking gerbil, you know, like a fucking hamster, and it's nonstop. And I don't know about you, but it looks like I'll be working some bullshit job until the day I fucking am put down in the fucking dirt 6 feet under, because I just, you know, in order to retire in the United States of America, you have to have at least a couple million dollars just to fucking have a decent retirement, or you're not going to make it, man. I mean, $1 million. Yeah.
Real quick, here in the States, I know Sean's talked about, he and I have talked about this a few times. The misconception is, and down in Australia, they took in 97, they took all the guns. Sean kind of cleared that up a little bit for me. He said, you know, they're still allowed to own guns, but it's very restricted. Here in the States, look, I am a firm believer of the Bill of Rights. It is our law, and it states that they shall not be infringed. There should be no weapon law on the books, Mike. I should be able to fucking drive around with an Abrams tank if I wanted to. I should have a fully mounted, you know, 50 caliber machine gun mounted to the bed of my pickup truck if I desire. But I can't even fucking afford a handgun, let alone a cheap one, because I got to sit there and look at the price of that $300, $400 handgun and go, huh, handgun or light bill? Which one is it? Well, shit, I guess I'll have to get my gun when the boogaloo starts and I kill the first commie. That's what I'm left with. You know, we can't even afford to defend ourselves if we had to.
Yeah, and I'm convinced at this point that and by the way, you just hit on another great topic, guns. I love this topic because I have a controversial view on the gun control stuff. I don't think the oy veys at the top of this system really give a fuck about gun control in this country at this point. And the reason I say this is because, you know, if you look at most of the CEOs of the gun manufacturing companies, they're all fucking oy veys, man. They're all Jews. In most of the big gun manufacturing companies at this point, they're all CEO. They own this shit. They're making money. So they put some monkey, some dumb clown like Obongo in the White House to threaten to take your guns away. He never really does. Or they get these Democrats, the fake left, to pretend like they're going to pass gun legislation, and they scare the public. And what happens? The public runs out. They buy more guns. They buy all this ammunition. And oy vey, who's making the money in the end again? Who's making the money? They're making the money again. Again, it's a big fucking scam. And they don't care if we kill each other with gun violence. They don't live in our neighborhoods or our communities anyway. They got their own fucking private places that they live with, their own security. They don't give a fuck about
just,
us.
Just like the fucking NRA. You know, they're a fucking joke.
Oh yeah.
You know, they're fucking traitors. You know, and I hate to say this is going to piss people off, especially here in the States. But when you go to your reputable gun dealer, your LLC, there's a term for it. Anyway, your licensed gun dealer.
Right.
They're playing by the same fucking corporate rules.
Yeah.
Now, why can't I get myself the materials, work on some blacksmithing, work on some mill shop work, and make my own gun? Oh, that's illegal. You can't do that. Why not? Where's the law? Where's the fucking law? Well, we wrote it down in this corporate charter. Fuck your corporate charter. The Bill of Rights says shall not be infringed. And if you want to challenge that, read the second article, or the ninth article, I'm sorry, says that no.
Hey, Josh. Go ahead. Mate, your connection is playing up again like it did the other night.
You sound like you're way away. You sound like you're far away. Folks, they don't want this information to get out, folks. This is clearly a psyop.
Yeah, Josh, it very much sounded like a heartbeat coming through, but it was like... for some reason, I think he's got like a dry solder joint going on in his... headphone socket. He needs to deal with that.
Yeah, I can hear you again. Yes.
Right. So, what I was saying was, the ninth article, what I call the article, because before it was amendment to the Constitution, these were articles. And pardon me, I'm outside, so you're going to hear cars driving by. It says the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be used to disparage or deny the rights retained by the people, meaning we have rights that not only are listed in the Bill of Rights, but that aren't listed, and nothing that you can write in the Constitution, no amendment, no law, can be used to disparage the rights of the people. It's plain as fucking day, and that is the number one fucking law that they abolish.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you. You're right. You're spot on. And Set Free in the chat was saying, red flag laws are being used a lot in the States. Yeah, they are in more liberal areas. But again, will this go mass scale? It might. I'm not saying that gun control isn't real, but I do believe at the end of the day that they're making bank. The red flag laws. Okay, let's just say they pass red flag laws and they start enforcing it in certain areas of the country. What does that do? Well, that scares the people even more to buying even more stuff, to buying even more guns and ammunition. And again, they make more money. Oh, it's coming into effect now. I've been hearing my whole life. They're going to take the guns away. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, thank you for bringing that up, Mike. Thank you for bringing that up, because I've noticed the same damn thing. Ironically, Obama was the biggest gun seller of all time. Yeah. Here's the problem. People think, oh, see, we're winning because, they threaten us. We just buy more guns. Well, listen, you dumb fuck. Even if you live in a state that doesn't register those firearms, there is a record of you buying that, you dumb fuck. So they're going to know who owns the guns, you dumb fuck, And the more shit you buy is more shit that they can just, we're just going to pass this red flag law. Now, I'm not saying don't buy guns. Hell, if you got the money, buy all the fucking guns you want. Make the fucking guns. My point is, they do this shit. They threaten you and scare you to buy. You're benefiting it from it, from buying the guns. Sure. Okay, fine. But you're giving all your hard earned money. Again, a gun is not cheap. It's not fucking cheap.
Yeah.
But you're taking all your hard earned money and you're giving it the corporations. The corporations that are going to sit back when they do pass these laws. The corporations aren't going to, these gun manufacturers, they're not going to stand up for you and I. They're not going to stand up for the Bill of Rights. The fucking NRA is not going to stand up for the Bill of Rights. And you're giving your money to them, you dumb sons of bitches. And yes. Another thing that pissed me off, another thing, with the red flag laws, the up in Virginia, Pulaski County and other counties, Fauquier, this is going to sound, I don't know if I'm pronouncing, I've always called it Fauquier County. It could be Fauquier, but Fauquier County up out in East Virginia, outside Richmond, and Pulaski County, which is probably about an hour and a half, 2 hours away from me, and mm-hmm. other counties are following suit. They're wanting Second Amendment sanctuaries. And there's a county here in Tennessee that's wanting to do the same thing. And I'm like, no, you dumb son of a bitch. Your Second Amendment, what you're doing is you're asking your local and municipal corporate board members permission if you can form a militia. That's not what it's supposed to be. We're already a militia because we, the people, are the militia. People are so fucking stupid in this country.
No, you're absolutely fucking right. You're spot on once again. And look, here's the deal. Like I said before, they don't care about us. Look, they're going to instigate a situation where all of us regular people, and this isn't even about race at this point. I mean, you need a gun to protect yourself because blacks are out of control. All that's true. But hear me out for a second. They don't give a fuck if we kill each other in the goddamn streets. They don't fucking care. They don't live in our communities. They don't go to work. That's what they want. They want us fucking killing each other. And they don't care if we have AK-47s or whatever or semi. I mean, they don't give a fuck. Dude, they're not living where we live. You know, the people that really run this thing, they could care less. This is great if we kill each other. The less of us, the better. This is great. So, and like you said, Obongo was the biggest gun salesman in American in presidential history. And to tell you the truth, Trump has actually passed more gun control legislation than Obama ever did. Fact.
And I was
look
gonna,
it up, folks.
He's coming up. He's coming up on the on reaching Obama's level, I would say, for gun sales, because you know he keeps pushing it. But here's the thing: people won't blame him. That's the problem. All these motherfuckers that go out and buy guns are, oh, it's the Democrats. It's the Democrats. It's the Democrats. It's the Democrats. Who the fuck? Jesus fucking Christ. God damn it.
Oh, Josh, I get pissed off the same way at these people. And you know what? Just like William Pierce said in the Turner Diaries, you know, I don't know if you ever read the Turner Diaries, but in William Pierce's book, The Turner Diaries, he said, you know, these gun people, they're not going to take my guns away. The goddamn communist Democrats, they're not going to. Guess what? In the Turner Diaries, written by William Pierce, these people were the first one to line up to hand in their fucking guns, and that'll be the reality. Just watch, because they'll say, well, you're not going to have your job if you don't give up your gun or something like that. And these motherfuckers will be the first ones in line.
Yeah, no, I was listening to the Turner Diaries on audiobook on, it was either BitChute or Archive, about a month or two ago. I got about halfway through. I got to finish it, but it's, I mean, I'm sitting there going, not only is it a very enjoyable novel, it's a damn good look into what could actually happen. I think what will happen.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's spot on. And I listened to the audiobook. I read it years ago, the actual book, but I listened to the audiobook about 6 months ago again. And I was like, God, this was prophetic, this book. Because really, you can see almost exactly like that book lays out happening now. You can actually see it. It's a totally unbelievable written book, man. It's incredible. But I agree with Setfree in the chat. That's what they want. All the refugees and illegals to kill us off, to vote, fill Catholic church pews, etc. Yes, you're absolutely right, Setfree. That is what they want. You know, the real purge is, you know, the Jews have their proxies that they bring in, the Muslims, the blacks, etc., blah, 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 blah. Anyway, there's some music. Pick it up on their side. Last half hour. News about people getting shot. I don't mind. I can run a razor right up your spine. What are you waiting for?
The only way to deal with an unfree world is to become so absolutely free that your very existence is an act of rebellion. Albert Camus. Albert Camus was a journalist, editor and editorialist, playwright and director, novelist and author of short stories, political essayist and activist, and arguably, although he came to deny it, a philosopher. He ignored or opposed systemic philosophy, had little faith in rationalism, asserted rather than argued many of his main ideas, presented others in metaphors, was preoccupied with immediate and personal experience, and brooded over such questions as the meaning of life in the face of death.
Yes, welcome back. News White People Can Use, last half hour of the show. Man, this show went by quick. Special guest tonight is Josh Lone Wolf One. Great to have him here. We've been talking about a variety of stuff. Now we're talking about guns. We've talked about all kinds of stuff this show. But yeah, Josh, go ahead with what you were saying before the break there. You were spot on this. I'm sick of it too, man. I'm sick of these fucking fake conservatives talking shit and then cucking out every damn time. They're not going to do shit. When the shit hits the fan, these people aren't going to do a goddamn thing, man.
No, I agree. And can you guys hear me okay this time?
Yeah, you sound good, man.
Okay. Now, what I think is, real quick, when I break out like that, I get away from the house and I'm too far from the Wi-Fi, and my data kicks in on my phone, and that switchover kind of screws it up. So. Yeah. My apologies. Anyway, no, I agree. And what kills me is I've got friends and family that are in this boat, and I'm like, I love them to death, but I just want to strangle them. You know, I just want to strangle them. And I had Christmas dinner, and my dad was there, and politics is always going to come up in any kind of family event like that. And it was just cucking for Trump. And I'm just like, fuck. I bit my tongue, because if I start rambling on, I really go on. And I'm just I'm just going to bite my tongue and eat my mashed potatoes and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that's what I do too, man. You got to pick your best. You know, I don't really talk to I don't go around talking to everybody anymore. I really don't. I used to do that shit, you know, back like a decade ago when we got to wake people up, folks. We got to get as many people. You know what? I'm done with that shit. You know, if you're not awake by now to what's going on, and I'm not saying, I mean, I do the show to try to get more people involved in this kind of thing. I mean, if I didn't care, I wouldn't do this broadcast. But I mean, in general, you know, if you can't see that something is really fucking wrong at this point, you're never going to see it. You're never going to fucking see it. I mean, we're at the point now where everything that we've talked about, that Sean and I used to talk about years ago on old radio shows, it's here. Shit that we used to talk about in the 2000s, 2010, 2011. I mean, it's fucking here. All of this shit's here. Yeah. It's already here.
I got into a big argument with my dad over this about a month and a half, 2 months ago. And, you know, I tried to make the argument that, okay, look, because I mean, he's blaming it on the Democrats. And yeah. I'm like, okay, you're half right, because it's also the Republicans. Well, Trump did this. I said, put Trump aside. I said, you're blaming it all on the Democrats. Okay, I get you. But why aren't you laying any blame on the Republicans? They haven't done shit either. Look where we are. It hasn't been all Democrats. It's been both. Here we are in 2019. Are things anywhere better under Republican leadership than they would be under Democrat leadership? Show me where. And vice versa, if I was talking to a Democrat right now, show me where. They yeah. can't. They're stuck in their party fake. It's that's what pisses me off. They know they're fucking corporations. They're fucking corporate entities. They are corporate entities, those fucking parties. And I would argue the fucking Libertarian Party is the same way. That's why I refuse to align myself with any fucking party. I don't care what you are. Because yeah. you got to play that by the same fucking rules, and you're nothing but a corporation. And you'll only be used, your party will only be used to subjugate the people even further. At the end of the day, I don't know about you guys, I want to be free. I don't want to be a fucking subject. What our founders fought for, our real founders, not the aristocracy that took over, but our real founders fought to be free. Everybody on this planet, and I will sound like a cuck here, everyone, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, Middle Eastern, even the fucking Jews, well, fuck the Jews, but everyone else on this planet deserves the right to be free, in my opinion. But I am not going to fucking bow down to any fucking body or any corporation. And this whole fucking government is that. And I get so fucking sick and goddamn tired of this fake left-right Republican Democrat Coke and Pepsi mentality.
Yeah, I agree. I also agree with Jew Banker in the chat. I say the tactic of waking the masses has been successful, hence the censorship push, and we need to keep it up. Yeah, I agree with Jew Banker as well. I'm not saying that we haven't woken up. There's not there are more people awake to what's going on, to the real problem now, than there ever has been. That is a fact. And that is one of the reasons for the censorship, because they're afraid and they've lost credibility. But
I will say this real quick, Mike. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to butt in. Real quick.
No. Go ahead. Feel free.
To that point, I was on Fagbook today, and I had made a comment. There was this Facebook post that was advertising the New York Times. And I made a comment. I said, the New York, I didn't say Jew. I was very careful with my wording, but everyone got what I said, because there was actually two or three likes on my comment. I couldn't believe it. I said, the New York Times, we know who they're run by, don't we? .. Oy vey, .. Right away, I got like two or three likes. People got it. And then right under that, I put somebody made me mention, yeah, they make up all these stories. They make up all the stories. They lie about everything. And I commented on their post. I said, yeah, they've lied about 6 million times, and they understood that one. So yeah. people are wising up. And I found this out with when I had The Greatest Story Never Told on my YouTube channel. That video, and I only had, when I put that video up, that documentary, at the time, I only had maybe 300 subscribers. Now I've got about 1,600 because of that documentary, I think, because that documentary on my channel got over 60,000 views within 9 months. People who had never questioned this shit were glued to it. And they're like, this is amazing. I was never taught this in school. This is real. And every time I could reply to them, I'm like, look, just take it for what it is. Do your own research, but know that you've been lied to. Now, I don't think The Greatest Story Never Told is the greatest documentary ever made, but it is a stepping stone. When I really want to wake people up, I point them to Europa, The Last Battle, because that is timeline chronologically, and it shows you how this stuff adds up to today. And it just amazed me how many people. And now I did get detractors, and I did get a lot of trolls, but overwhelmingly 90% of the comments and the appreciation, out of the 90, out of all the comments, I would say probably half of them were people that had never watched the documentary before, never even heard of any of the lies regarding the Holocaust before, or World War II, or Hitler, or anything else, not even about the bankers. And that's what blew people away. They're like, oh God, I get it now. And it's like people crave this information. And it's like when you know it when you find it. You know it's there. You just, when you find the truth, you fucking know it. And people are waking up. It's slow, but people are waking up. I'm starting to see it a little bit online. Unfortunately, that's where I've seen it. Out in the real world, people are still, no.
Will, and don't forget, Josh, that in the real world, people aren't going to say anything in public. They're gonna do it online, and that's fine. I mean, there's no reason to out yourself necessarily yet, because the time's not quite there yet for that to happen, but because they're afraid of losing their fucking job. This is a fact. I mean,
I get that.
And it's a reality. Yeah, and you know, and when you got kids and you got a family to feed, you know, these fucking trolls with Cheeto fingers jacking off in their parents' basement can joke around about this, about how they don't give a damn about the marketplace and all this and the jobs and all this, and they're going to say whatever the fuck they want to say. Yeah, it's different when you got skin in the game. When you don't have any skin in the game, it's one thing to joke around about it. When you do have skin in the game, you know, you got to be careful about what you say a lot of times. That's just a fucking reality. You know?
Well, and that's sad, because we should not ever fear about questioning or talking about any subject, no matter what we're doing or where we are. That right. I mean, you want to talk about, with freedom of speech and with censorship, go to your workplace and talk about race relations. Go to your workplace and talk about the Jews running the banks, you know? And I mean, down here in the South, yeah, you might be able to get away with a few things, you know, talking with your buddy on the work line, sure. But in the corporate world, yeah, I doubt it. I doubt it.
No,
okay. I've been in both. And there is a difference. I've been blue collar. I haven't been white collar necessarily, but the work I do allows me access to some of that. I know how some of these assholes think, you know? So, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I'm in the same boat you are. And I've kind of been on both sides of the spectrum somewhat, you know, as the worker bee on a line and a factory, and then also in management, you know, but I can tell you this. You start running your mouth in the workplace to a lot of people, your ass will be in HR, human resources, faster than you can say Jew. And they'll be handing you your walking papers, man.
And again, when I look at things like that, I'm thinking, okay, where is your Bill of Rights? Now, I'm the first one to defend it. But my question is, why isn't it being upheld in that moment? You know, we'll defend it when it comes to censorship online. We'll defend it when it comes to a protest, for the most part. But
you see, Josh, they're a private company, and when you got hired on, you signed all those papers. When you got hired on to the company, you agreed to a code of conduct, and in the fine print under the code of conduct and the document you signed, it said that. You know, any kind of behavior that they deem embarrassing to the company, they can use as a reason to fire you. See, it's a private company. You can't. What are you, a communist? Whoa, oh my God! What are you a Democrat? You sound like a Democrat, son.
Yep. No, I get that from my. I love my dad to death, but that's what I get from him. You know, I'm like, God damn it! I'm like, no, Dad, I'm neither. You don't understand. You know. I've tried to wake him up. I tried to red pill him hard, but it doesn't take. Anyway, now I got fired from a job. I was working my way through quote unquote college. It was a technical school, but I was working my way through that. And I was trying to go through the job aid, and she's like, "Yeah, there's this place that's hiring. They make air conditioners and air filters and purifiers, right?" And so I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And so they said, they're going to hire you to be a bench test guy, because I was going for electronics. I said, oh, that'd be great. So they said, well, we don't have your area set up yet, because it was a startup company, basically. And they're fairly new. And they said, but, you know, what we will have to have you do, because we're backlogged, is help out in the warehouse. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I mean, it's just pay. I mean, I need a job. So I'm working in the warehouse with this guy, and we're just, you know, labeling stuff and putting them on shipping crates. And he and I are just talking, just, you know, back and forth talk. You know, I don't even remember what the conversations were about, but apparently somebody didn't like what I said. And I must have used a cuss word or something. And, you know, anybody who's ever worked in a factory or warehouse setting, you know, any blue collar job, you're going to have not necessarily gutter talk, but it's just banter, you know? Yeah. So second day on the job, they call everybody in. The company only had maybe 10 people in it. You know, it's a very small business. They call everybody into this little meeting to discuss what we're going to do with next week's work. Well, while I'm in this meeting, I get a call from this temp agency, because that's what I was working through to get to this company. So the temp rep called, says, "Hey, when you get home, give me a call, please." I said, "Sure." So I hung up my phone and I said, "I'm sorry." And they said, "No, it's fine. You're good." So we finished the meeting out. They said, "We'll see you next week." Okay, cool. I go in, I go home, I call the temp place back, and they said, and this woman was very pissed. She says, "Yeah, they fired you." And I said, "I just left a meeting. How did they fire me?" And she explained what happened. Apparently somebody walked by, overheard me say something vulgar that they didn't like, and they fired me. And this woman said, "This is not the first time that this company has done that." And I said, "Are you fucking kidding me?" And I said that. I said, "I apologize for saying it that way." But she's like, "No, cuss all you want with me." She says, "I've had it with this shit." She said, "And this is supposed to be a Christian company." I said,
"Oh, that's the worst.
That's why."
Oh, that's
the worst. And that's what pissed me off. I said, they could have pulled me aside. That's the thing. They didn't even tell me, "Hey, can you watch your language?" I would have politely said, "Sure, I apologize." No one pulled me aside. No one said anything. It was just right through the temp agency. Temp agency said, "Hey, they fired you." And that, you know, I'm like, fuck, what the fuck?
Well, Josh, anything I've learned over the years, one truth in my life that's a constant truth, and that is that 99% of these people that wear, "I'm a Christian business. You know, I'm a Christian. You know, did I mention to you I was a Christian?" These are the first people and places that will stab you in the fucking back. They're the first ones to throw you under the fucking bus every goddamn time.
I have met a handful, only a handful, that they talk the talk and they walk the walk. I know one personally. Right. He happens to be my martial arts instructor. He's a Vietnam veteran. He's in his 70s, and he's in damn good health. And he's a Christian. The only fault I have of him is not that he's a Christian, but he's one of these pro-Israel guys.
Oh,
now,
God,
I have not ever gotten into a discussion about this with him. But when we invaded Libya and were taking out Gaddafi, he and I were sitting there watching this shit on the news. And I looked at him, I said, "Now, you being a Vietnam veteran, being a military advisor, you know there are people behind this that don't care who wins or loses, and it's about money." Mm-hmm. "You know this for a fact." He says, "Absolutely, that's what Vietnam was about." Now, this guy is probably one of the few Christians I have ever met, and I grew up Christian, but he is one of the few Christians I have ever met who he doesn't care. I will say this for some of them. People might say this is a cup thing, but he's the kind of person, he doesn't care if you're what you are, even if you're non-religious. If you need a handout, if you need help, he will assist you. He will do what he can. He's that kind of person. He's just a caring person. And that, with Christianity, is a wonderful thing. But there are non-Christians that are that way too.
Exactly.
The problem I have with Christians, many Christians, is when they get political and when they're Israel first. That's when I'm like, fuck you and your God and your church and your faith and your cross. It's all made up bullshit. That's when I just want to get vile. Now, when they don't bring that up, and when they don't bring that up and they're loving and they're caring and they want to give, then I see them as a wonderful person.
Right.
But that's their personality. That has nothing to do with their faith. It shouldn't anyway.
Yeah. And the real ones, and I know a handful of real ones where I live as well, and in my family and stuff, that are genuine, and they're great people, and they'll help you when you really need it. They're there, and and they do exist. But I gotta tell you, for the most part, you know, the ones that are real, like you're talking about, don't wear it on their sleeve. You know what I'm saying? They don't go around just, did I mention to you I'm this, that. They don't do it. But the ones that wear it on their sleeve are full of shit. and they will stab you in the back, and it's a front. It's like the people that complain about language or what's this filth you're watching and all this kind of stuff. You know, they usually find out later that these so-called moralists are the most perverted sickos behind the scenes. It's kind of like the Catholic priest that pretends to be all holy and then is diddling kids behind the scenes. It's the same fucking shit. Most of them are full of shit, and I get tired of it. I get so sick of it. But I got to tell you, getting back to this corporate shit, and speaking of corporate jobs, I can tell you a funny story real quick. Monday, I had to go take a drug test because we have, like, random drug testing where I work, and I had to go take a drug test on Monday. And I tell you, I had to do it through LabCorp. And I got to tell you, you know, it's been a while since I've taken a drug test. And those listening, I really don't do anything anymore. I drink. That's about it. I don't mess with drugs anymore. But I went to take the drug test, and sitting in there was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. I'm like the only white guy, because I had to take it out where I live. I'm like the only white guy sitting in this waiting room for like 3 fucking hours with a bunch of droids. All of them reek of fucking weed. They're going to fail the fucking test. One guy had synthetic urine in his pants trying to keep it warm with the little warm-up thing you keep in your pants, you know? And his pants were sagging, and the fucking synthetic urine fell out and broke on the floor in the fucking waiting room. Okay?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my fucking God.
And I'm sitting there.
They ain't too smart, but at the same time, they ain't too smart, but weren't they kings and she?
Yeah, they can't keep the synthetic urine in their sagging pants to pass the fucking drug test for whatever Jew company they work for, but they built the pyramids, gee, shit.
Yeah, I don't buy that for a minute.
But this guy drops the shit in the floor, so he automatically fails. The lady tells him to get the fuck out. Then I'm sitting there, and she goes, "Did you sign in?" And I said, "Where the fuck do I sign in?" She goes, "That thing behind you." I look behind me, and there's like this little fucking kiosk where I had to scan the barcode on my driver's license, okay, to enroll me into this piss test. And I'm sitting there, and I'm waiting and waiting, and finally they call me, like an hour and a half after I scan my fucking barcode on my driver's license. And I go up to the counter to this fucking groid fucking so-called nurse, whatever the fuck she is, a LabCorp piss handler. And I go up to her, and I go, "Okay, I'm ready. I got to pee. I've been drinking water. I'm ready to piss." She goes, "Not yet. I got to sign you in again." I said, "I just fucking signed in over there." She goes, No, we got to sign you in again, and then you'll be able to piss." And I said, "All right. Okay." So she goes, "Do you have your birth certificate?" And I said, "What the fuck are you talking about?" "Yeah, I got it right here in my fucking pocket. A birth fucking." "Yeah, I walk around with a birth certificate all fucking day, bitch. What the fuck?"
So, anyway, did you tell her to check the New York? Did you tell her to check the New York Stock Exchange? That's where they got it at.
Yeah. I'm a fucking commodity, bitch, and you're getting my goddamn body fluids. I mean, hell. So finally, listen to this. So finally, 3 hours later, after sitting into this monkey waiting room with these fucking groids talking about, and it was the day before Christmas Eve. This was Monday. And I'm sitting next to this fucking groid that smelled, reeked of weed, and he's sitting there on his cell phone talking to his baby mama about, "We having to crib my party. We having to crib my party. Where you get my baby for crib my for crib? Oh, I gotta take the test and shit." And finally, they called me in. 3 hours of listening to this goddamn shit, and I you're absolutely right, Setfree. The bitch taking my urine had 10-foot long fucking fingernails and fucking horsehair fucking weed. She already had fucking prongs to handle my piss. The fucking nails. I get in there, Josh, I get in there. I got to piss so bad because I'm drinking water to get this thing over with. I get in there. I piss in the fucking cup. I come out of the bathroom, hand LaQuisha the cup. Guess what? She drops my fucking sample and spills it on the fucking floor. She goes, "You're going to have to pee again." I said, "Bitch, I can't just piss again. I just been holding this shit for 3 fucking hours. Now I got to get, you got to give me some more fucking water."
Oh, dude, about a year ago, I'm in Nashville and I'm working with a coworker. Now we got this job, and it's at a hospital downtown Nashville, and So in order to work in this hospital, we have to get a background check and do a drug test to get this ID card. So we're like, okay, whatever. It's just par for the course. We got to, I mean, we deal with hospitals and all kinds of businesses and sites. And so we got to go through all the fucking hoops. So we're sitting there now, similar situation as you, except there was probably about 20 guys in there, one girl. And, my coworker is of, I think, Cherokee and Irish descent. So he actually looks Mexican, but he's not. Outside of him, there was probably five other white guys, about five other black guys, and the rest were all fucking Guatemalans and Hondurans and shit. They couldn't speak a lick of goddamn English. And we're in there for about 2.5-3 hours, and I'm drinking water like a motherfucker. I am the last to go. The fucked up thing is, I couldn't fucking go. I couldn't fucking piss. And so they let, so I said, look, guys, I'm sorry. I can't go. You're going to have to wait a little bit. And I felt bad. I felt so embarrassed. So they said, okay, well, we'll call the girl. They let her go ahead of me because they had to wait. But, you know, I finally did go and it was fine. But my point is that whole fucking area, out of all the people working downtown Nashville, and, you know, these guys are doing construction, you know, me and my coworker, we're doing security installs. So this is all for like a construction job, basically. Almost all the people in there were fucking Guatemalans and Hondurans, El Salvadorians, you know, five black guys, maybe, again, reeked of weed, five white guys. And let's just be honest. We're not the best of the bunch either, because I have seen some shitty ass white people, especially in the worst parts of the South. So I'm just sitting here. I'm like, fuck me. And these people are going to be working in a hospital.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you something. I got to tell you another funny story before we go. We only got a couple minutes left. A job I had like 10 years ago, I had to get a drug test. They told me it was going to be a hair follicle test. And 10 years ago, dude, if they would have given me a hair follicle test, every drug known to mankind, going back to the beginning of fucking going back to Babylon, would have been found in my fucking system. I got to tell you that. I'm not going to lie. And so I'm fucking paranoid. And so they tell me it's going to be a hair follicle. They're going to go back a long way. So I go online, start putting all this shit in my, I shave all the body hair off my body. I get rid of all the body hair, shave my head, go to the barbershop, get my head shaved, fucking start putting these chemicals on my head everywhere all over my body for like weeks. Finally, I get in there and I look like a fucking survivor. I look like a fucking. Oh, there's music. Anyway, I get in there and they tell me, oh, you have a urinalysis, not a hair follicle. I said, fuck me. Anyway, Josh, thanks for coming on. It's been a blast.
Mike, it's been awesome. Thank you very much.
Absolute morality, the absolute morality that a religious person might profess would include what? Stoning people for adultery, death for apostasy, punishment for breaking the Sabbath. These are all things which are religiously based absolute moralities. I don't think I want an absolute morality. I think I want a morality that is thought out, reasoned, argued, discussed, and